I remember it well, and so does my wife. I was sure I could do it by myself. After all, I had parked our old car in the garage for years. So how hard could it be to park our new, used car in the garage so that it fit exactly the same way that our old one had? You know, as close to the garage door as possible, to leave room in the front so we could walk our grocery past it with our groceries. Are you sure it's in far enough? My wife said. And she even offered to help, but I'm a man, and I was sure I knew how to do it. In fact, I had even left an inch or two of room to spare. And I had, except for that old metal handle that was sticking out on the inside of the garage door and left a big scrape on the bumper when I closed the door. That was years ago, but I still remember it well. And like I said, so does my wife. I remember it well because, you know, it's painful, but it's an important reminder that when I'm offered help, I should take it. So whenever the Bible says that God offers us help, we'd be wise to take him up on it. You know, Romans chapter 8, for example, it says that the Spirit offers to help us in our weakness. Now, if you've been following along with us these past 2 months, then you'll know that we have been exploring the difference it makes to be living in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that is. And that phrase, in the Spirit, it frequently means in the control of the Spirit or under the inspiration and influence of the Spirit. We need that. So the New Testament writers like Paul and all the way to Jude, they even encourage us to be praying in the Spirit, to take advantage of this help the Spirit offers when it comes to connecting with God and communicating with him, like it does in Romans chapter 8 that we're going to look at today. I encourage you to turn to Romans chapter 8, and we're going to look at verses 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Now, I want to look at that verse, those verses this morning. And for my outline, I'm just going to use the acrostic of the word Spirit. So a point for S-P-I-R-I-T. Okay? Now, Paul says that in the midst of our present sufferings and groanings and weakness, the Spirit, S, supports and sustains us. I know, that's two S's, but they kind of work together. You see, Paul has described creation itself as groaning under the weight of human sin and injustice. These have frustrated and thwarted its efforts to be and to do all that God created his world to be and to do. What else should creation do but groan when it was designed to give life, but it is used to cover up the remains of hundreds of precious indigenous children in unmarked graves? Well, if creation groans over such injustice, how much more ought we to groan and grieve with our indigenous neighbors and friends? Paul says that the Spirit helps us in our weakness, in the limitations of our human condition. And one limitation that he highlights here is our limited knowledge and even knowing what we ought to pray for. I mean, our inability to articulate and express what we are thinking and feeling, it's a huge limitation in human communication. Yet our inability to pray, articulate what we ought and need to, should we be praying for justice, for mercy, for what else? Well, this lack of knowledge and what to articulate, it's no obstacle for God. He is there actively to support and sustain us when we are so grieved or confused or angered or lost that we don't even know what to pray for. And he is there to sustain us when we feel stuck or totally spent. Think of the disciples with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. I mean, it's a huge, the biggest crisis in their lives. And Jesus comes to find them fast asleep. And he says, couldn't you keep watch with me for 1 hour? And then he says, watch and pray that you do not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so the spirit is offering to help us overcome these and other human limitations. Well, the spirit also provides a divine perspective. Second one, P, perspective. Our perspective, just as our knowledge is limited, so is our perspective. I mean, extremely limited. In fact, it is so limited that we don't even know how important or unimportant, you know, the thing or things are that we may be fixated on, or how urgent or non-urgent they are. I mean, I don't always know that, do you? You see, I've lived long enough to know and to realize that often I don't really even know if the current obstacle or setback that I'm so upset about is really as bad as I think it is, or whether it will ultimately actually turn out for my good or the good of others. I remember a number of years ago, our daughter Jessica, she works as a medical office assistant, and she had been doing this job for several years, and it was going to become her permanent position. And then about a month before she had those number of hours for that, somebody bumped her out of that position. And she was devastated, and so were we. I mean, angry and upset, but I remember feeling that, and then in the midst of it also thinking, but maybe we just can't see what God is up to. Maybe someday we'll look back and see this differently. I remember even saying this to my daughter. And you know what? Now we do. God had something even better, where her skill set and what she's great at is being used day in and day out. Well, even when we didn't have a divine perspective on it, the Spirit invited us to trust that he did and that someday we would. And so the Spirit teaches us to be more open-handed, I think, in our praying, rather than white-knuckling it, as I call it. Well, the Spirit supports and sustains us. The Spirit provides a divine perspective, and the Spirit also provides divine insight, the eye for insight. You know, even our internal perspective is so limited that we need the Spirit's insight into what is going on inside of us. I mean, why am I feeling so tense or depressed or excited or lonely? Why did I experience a sudden unexpected peace after I prayed? The Spirit provides much needed insight into what's going on inside of us. And how about our insight into God and His will for us in our world? Well, that's obviously limited. Our insight into God and His ways is far from perfect. In many situations, we are really quite clueless about what we really need and what we should be asking for. You know, at a church here, we have an Interact machine, and it's from the Dark Ages. It still is a dial-up, and so we're going to get a new one in that uses, you know, the Cat5 cable, fast internet speed. But we don't have a hookup in that room where we want to have it. And so I talked to one of our tech guys, and I was sure I got it right what we needed. So I told our other guy, Craig was saying that we need a splitter. And Kevin was really confused because he thought for sure we would need a switch. And you know what? I just got it all mixed up, and they finally said, we'll just leave you totally out of it and we'll talk to one another. Well, you see, I didn't even know what to ask for, what I needed help with. And I think sometimes we're like that with God. I mean, Israel, I think about, I was just reading in the book of 1 Samuel, and Israel is in dire straits, and they ask for a king, And they go to Samuel, we want a king like all the other nations. They think that's the solution. It's not really. They should have been just asking God for his help and whatever the solution that he thought was best to get them out of it. Like, that would be great with them. But they thought, no, we know exactly what we need. And often we're like that. And when we pray in the Spirit, we open ourselves up to divine insight. Insight into ourselves and insight into God and his will for us and for our world. Well, fourthly, the Spirit also works to redeem and restore. I know, two R's again, but they both work. Redeem and restore what has been distorted, disconnected, and destroyed by sin. By our sin, by the sin of others. The Spirit knows what God's will is for us and for our world. And the Spirit nurtures deep longings for liberation and restoration and reconnection with God and with others. The Spirit's redeeming and restorative work encompasses all of creation. But he's also attentive to the small and the personal. We must not think that God cares only about repairing, you know, the really big things in the world or in our lives. After all, he is our heavenly Father who loves his children. It's not as if God hears what we're praying for and about and says, oh no, that's too small and insignificant for my time and attention right now. You know, I was reminded of a story I heard years ago about a father who had taken his wife and kids out to a restaurant. And they didn't do it very often, so his very excited six-year-old actually asked if he could say grace. And so as they bowed their heads, the six-year-old, the boy prayed, God is good. God is great. Thank you for the food. And I would thank you even more if mommy gets us ice cream for dessert. Amen. Well, his prayer evoked some stifled laughter from nearby customers, as well as a critical comment from an elderly lady who said to others at her table, that's what's wrong with this country. Kids today don't even know how to pray, asking God for ice cream. Why? I never. Unfortunately, the young boy overheard it, and he burst into tears. Did I do it wrong? He sobbed. Is God mad at me? And as his father reached over to try to console him, an elderly gentleman who had overheard and overseen what had happened approached their table, winked at the young boy, and then said to him, I happen to know that God thought that was a great prayer. And then with a little dramatic whisper, he added, too bad she never asked God for some ice cream. A little ice cream is good for the soul sometimes. Well, you see, the Spirit is, when he sees restoration and redemption needed, he is always ready and willing to redeem and restore people, broken people and broken relationships when we are sensitive to his leading. And he will prompt us to do whatever we can do to help, whether it is praying or whether it is speaking up like this elderly gentleman did. Well, in addition to redeeming and restoring, the Spirit also initiates prayer and intercedes for us. Yes, I know, two letters again for one. Initiates and intercedes. You see, while praying in the Spirit includes speaking in tongues as one expression of praying under the control and under the influence of the Spirit, Paul also highlights how the Spirit actually initiates prayer. He invites us to pray. He kind of prods us, prompts us, invites. And he continually intercedes before God for us. He opens the communication lines, if you will. And he keeps them open so we're not like we're put on hold or cut off somehow. No, he doesn't want to let that happen. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, Paul says. Now, while the one who searches isn't explicitly mentioned or named, God is clearly the one who can do this. He's the only one who can do it. And we read about it in Psalm 7, verse 9, for example. The righteous God who probes minds and hearts. In Acts 1, the apostles pray, Lord, you know everyone's heart as they're trying to select someone to be that 12th apostle. Now, the one who searches our hearts also knows the mind of the Spirit. You know, we may not even know, and we don't know all the thoughts and motives that are at work within us, but God knows himself inside and out. He knows the Spirit's thoughts and feelings on all matters, and he takes into account everything, comprehensive knowledge, everything that the Spirit, who knows his heart, is longing to initiate in us and intercede for us. I mean, isn't that great news? Like, that's the best possible helper that we could have. And the prayers that the Spirit initiates in us and commends to God on our behalf are the wisest and best of all, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Not all of the prayers that we pray are wise or good, are they? I think of the Pharisees' selfish and self-righteous prayer in Luke chapter 18. I thank you, my God, that I am not like, you know, other people, like that tax collector. But the prayers that the Spirit initiates in us and intercedes to God on our behalf and are always in accordance with the will of God. When we are sensitive and in sync, he will lead us to pray those kinds of prayers. You know, sometimes people come to me to pray for them, and that's wonderful. I love to pray for people. But sometimes they do that because they think the pastor's prayers are better and more powerful than other people, than ordinary people's. You know, but Paul, I love what Leon Morris says in his commentary. He says, Paul is giving encouragement to the humblest of God's people. They may be dissatisfied with their praying, but they have a powerful intercessor and one who prays for them in accordance with the will of God himself. The Spirit, he is the best prayer of all. And friends, when we pray in the Spirit, the clarity and power and purity of our praying truly becomes supernatural. Think of the prayer of the tax collector, that parable I mentioned in Luke 18, the Pharisee, a way not to pray. But the tax collector, he didn't even think he was worthy of praying. And yet, that was the prayer that God heard. A prayer of humility. Prayer works. And finally, the T, sixth one. The Spirit transforms us and others as we pray. It transforms. Which is why Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, he encourages readers, he says, to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. There's a lot of all in there. All kinds of prayers, all requests, all of the Lord's, all people. You know, keep praying all kinds of prayers. Prayers of adoration, praise, thanksgiving, surrender, celebration, confession, requests for ourselves and for others. We call that intercession for others. And he says, pray for all kinds of people because we all need prayer. And when God's people pray, things happen. Situations and circumstances and people are changed and transformed. Sometimes not immediately, but often God really begins to transform things. And Paul knows this transforming power of prayer from personal experience, which is why I think one of the reasons that he adds in that letter to the Ephesians, pray also for me. I think he also adds that because he needs that, and he wants people to know that even though he is an apostle, an experienced leader, he depends and relies on the prayers of others. And so do I. I remember a number of months ago, it was prayer time in our board meeting, and one of the elders prayed for me. And I could just feel the difference that it make. I didn't even realize how much I needed to be prayed for until I was being prayed for. And so what did Paul want and need prayer for? He said, pray that whenever I speak, words may be given me. This wise man is saying, I need the Spirit's words to be given, that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. And he says, pray that I will declare it fearlessly as I should. You see, the Spirit transforms situations and circumstances and people, both the people praying and the people being prayed for. Living in the Spirit includes praying in the Spirit, relying on His support, asking for His perspective, counting on His insight into us and into God's will, getting in sync with His redeeming and restoring work, responding to His regular invitations to pray and His intercessory work on our behalf, so that we and those around us can experience the transforming power and transformation that He longs to do in us and in others to the glory of God. Let's pray. Oh, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank You that You are so willing and able to help us in our weakness. Lord, in the weakness and groanings that we feel for our indigenous neighbors and friends and having to face yet another terrible injustice, digging up old wounds, and Lord, we pray for Your justice and Your mercy and for the restorative and redeeming work of Your Spirit to be at work, reconciling us to one another. Lord, we thank You for Your Spirit, who teaches us what to say, and even when we don't have the words to say, that You are the best interpreter to our Heavenly Father. You help us to know what we need to pray for, and even when we don't quite, You know what it is that we need, and You intercede for us. Thank You for Your Spirit, who prays in us and through us to Your glory. Amen.